in this story, 10 verses we've read, 25 through 34, I would call our attention first to the fact that it's a story that interrupts another story. Back up in verse 22, a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus came to Jesus. And he said, my daughter is very sick. She's at the point of death. And I want you to come. I pray thee. I ask of thee. Come lay thy hands on her that she may be healed. And Jesus consented to do so. And on the way to Jairus' house, this woman, beginning in verse 25, comes to him with her problem. And after he's dealt with her, verse 35 goes back to the story of Jairus. His daughter had died. And some of Jairus' servants came and met him and the Lord in the way. And they said, it's no use now. She's dead. Tell the master not to trouble himself, not to bother coming. Now, this is the human approach, that this was an interruption. We naturally look at everything backwards. If you would really know God and how God works, how He operates, you must live in this book. Read it one line at a time, one word at a time. The reason they never, quote, made it in time to Jairus' house, that's the way these servants are thinking. But the reason Jesus never got there sooner was so Jairus' daughter would die. He never intended to raise her from the sickbed, but to raise her from the dead. And so this story of this woman, it occurs in between his starting to Jairus' house and his actually arriving there. With that said, our Lord is not doing one thing at a time. Your little story, like this woman's, is right in the middle of a million other stories. Your life is not about you. It's about what God would do in you and through you. And yet, with all He's got going on, He has time for you. So, as we study this story for a few minutes, look for yourself in it. The title of my message is, Who Touched Who? Who touched who? She said in verse 28, If I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. But it was His touching her heart first that caused her to desire to touch His garment. It was His touching her that made her believe that touching Him would be worth anything. Who touched who? When she touched Him, verse 30 says that virtue went out of Him. The word virtue there is dunamis, many times translated power in the New Testament. A divine, miraculous force or power. Something not natural. Virtue went out of Him and touched her. And she, knowing that she was healed, would have gladly slipped out of the crowd quietly and went on back to the house. But before she could, He touched her again. Not physically, but with His word. He said, Who touched me? And she froze. Verse 23 says she was fearing and trembling. Verse 33. And knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Who touched who? And the question this morning, has the Lord touched you? I want to back up to the beginning in verse 25 and see some things quickly in this story. And see, I trust ourselves in the place of this woman. Number one, she was distinct from the multitude. She wasn't just part of it like all the rest who were there for, you know, who knows what reasons. Verse 23 says, verse 22 says that, I'm about to get messed up here. I guess it's verse 21 that says, much people. Gathered unto him. Thronged him. Where did I see that word thronged? Help me. 24. Much people followed him and thronged him. That word thronged means compressed on all sides. Boxed in, so to speak. And of course, we know that he could have walked away anytime he pleased, but he didn't. It's shoulder to shoulder, all around him, much people. And why they all were there, I don't know. Entertainment, possibly seeing a miracle. Fascination with seeing a recently declared celebrity? I don't know. But I do know they were all there for reasons not worthy of mention. But this woman was distinct. She came to touch him. No one else did. That's why she came. That's the only reason she came. And I can but wonder this morning if there should be such an one here today, burdened and buried in the secrecy of your sorrow, trouble you can't talk about, that came for one purpose and one purpose only, to touch him. To touch him. Verse 25 says, this was a certain woman. Why did it just say a woman? It's a certain woman. We find that throughout the scriptures. In the New Testament, that word certain 136 times. A certain man, a certain woman, a certain place. A certain poor man, a certain beggar, a certain rich man, a creditor, a certain Samaritan, a certain nobleman, a certain poor widow, a certain disciple, and on and on and on. This is a certain woman, not just any woman. And this morning there's 1,000 places you could be other than here. But this is certain. Certain. Christ had drawn her to himself, a certain individual, certain to do and be all he's decreed and designed for her to do and be. How far she came to touch him, we don't know. How far he came to touch her, we do know. He came all the way from heaven to earth. So really, who touched who? And have you been touched this morning? Here's why she came. Here's why she was distinct from the rest. Number two, she was defiled. She had an issue of blood, verse 25 calls it. Now, they were all sinners, but she wasn't there to point anybody else out. She was there for her own problem, her own case. An issue of blood. The truth of all our problems is in our blood. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Our blood is defiled by sin. It's the same blood as our father Adam. So like ourselves, this woman is defiled. This hemorrhage or this issuing of blood was a serious and shameful defilement. The noted preacher from London, pastor of the Westminster Chapel, G. Campbell Morgan, for many years, he says this about this woman. Consequently, by the very law of her people, she was divorced from her husband, could not live in her own home. She was ostracized from all society. She must not come into contact with her old friends. She was excommunicated from the services of the synagogue and thus shut out from the women's courts in the temple. Here is indeed a pathetic case. 12 years in which the passionate desire for her healing, for restoration to all those places of life which were her joy, home, society, and religion. 12 years of agony, physical, mental, spiritual. But she came. She came. Defiled. You're defiled this morning. I'm defiled this morning. Number three, she was deceived many times. Verse 26 says, she had suffered many things of many physicians. She'd been lied to. She'd been given false hope. She'd no doubt been told if you'll do this or do that, that's the secret. Reminds us of religious racketeers in this country who have gotten rich telling people lies about what to do to make God smile on you, when all they really need is a touch from the Master. Some of you have seen it all. I've seen it all. A fellow says, I'll touch this prayer cloth and send it to you for your healing. You send me money. I hold this bottle with water from the Holy Land. I'll send it to you. You send me money. It's just what you need. This woman had her hopes up so many times in 12 years. Deceived again and again and again. Some of you sitting here this morning have been deceived many times. If you'll quit this, if you'll start that, all sorts of religious deception of what you need to do to make God like you, when all you need is a touch of the Master. Number four, she was depleted of all her resources. We read here in verse 26 that she had spent all that she had. There was nothing left. No savings, no retirement, nothing to sell. She's broke. She's bankrupt, chasing after false remedies. We should all know this. Apart from the touch of Christ, everything else is spent in vain. All religion, apart from the touch of Christ, is bound for hell from whence it came. Depleted. It drains people. Number five, she was disappointed. Verse 26, she was nothing bettered. The doctor says, "Dear lady, aren't you just a wee bit better today than yesterday?" Not a bit. Nothing bettered. What a disappointment. No doubt she had been told many times, "This should help some." But she was nothing bettered. In all your religious pretense and profession and performance, you are nothing bettered. I read that the Jewish Talmud gives 11 so-called remedies for the curing of this woman's problem. Any of them supposed to work. Some of them nothing more than superstitions. Voodoo. Tonics. In ancient Jewish literature, one wrote, "I used to go to the physicians to be healed. But the more they anointed me, the more my eyes were blinded by the films until they were totally blinded." I thought about that in today's religious mindset. We've listened to the world poke fun at God's Word and God's Gospel. So sometimes you have trouble believing it. She's disappointed. Then the next thing, six, she was desperate. Not only defeated, spent all she had, disappointed, nothing bettered, but she was desperate. Verse 26 concludes, "but rather grew worse." She knew it's but a matter of time. This is going to kill me. Some of you need to understand this morning, we're in such a busy world. There's so much going on, you don't have time to think. And of course, that's Satan's design, is that you never think. But you need to understand that idea you've sold yourself on, that God's okay with what I am. I'm not a bad person. I'm pretty good. What you don't know is that that condition you're in is growing worse day by day and will one day kill you. You're not desperate. You don't see the need to repent. You're not that far off base, you think. But this woman is desperate. She sees clearly. I'm dying with this problem I've got. Do you see that this morning? Number seven, she was determined. Verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, he touched her. In that moment, before she ever came to him, when she heard of Jesus, he touched her. It meant something. Faith was born in her heart. It was His touching her when she heard of Jesus. When some of you hear of Jesus, it goes in one ear and out the other. When you hear of Jesus, oh yes, I know all about Him. But she was determined. Why? What caused it? Who touched who? He touched her. And she said, I've got to touch Him. And number 8, she was delivered. Jesus knew that His touch, drawing her to Himself, caused virtue to go out of Him when she touched Him. He knew she had what she came after. She knew she had what she came after. Why couldn't and why didn't He let her quietly drop out of the crowd and go on home? It seems that would have been more like Him. Why must He make a scene and call her out? But He did. He said, who touched me? The disciple said, why, you see this multitude thronging you, bumping on you from side, you know, on every side, shoulder to shoulder. What do you mean, who touched me? Jesus stopped. And verse 32 says, He looked round about. He turned and looked round about. Who touched me? Didn't He know? Oh yes, He knew. He knew. And she, fearing and trembling, says within herself, He knows it's me. And can I say to you this morning, He knows it's you. If you really wanted to touch Him this morning, He knows it's you. He touched her again. Who touched who? He touched her heart. Personally. He didn't say, all right, listen up. All who will come and bow at my feet. No, no. You couldn't have paid this woman to do what she did. But He touched her. And she, and only she, came and fell down before Him. Some of you saying, I wouldn't make such and such commitment to the Lord because nobody else is doing it. Hey, there's nobody in this but you and Him. You need to get a hold of that. There is no group salvation. She came and fell down before Him and did what? Some repeat after me? Romans Road something? No. She told Him all the truth. Whew. How could she do that? He touched her. He touched her. That's what it takes for you to be truthful with God, is His touch. We're all such cowards, hypocrites, low down and sorry sinners. We absolutely cannot even tell God the truth except He touches. Except He touches. We've heard too much of this junk. Oh, He's pleading. He's begging you to give him a chance. He don't need a chance. He's the one that touches sinners and calls to himself. He touched her. He touched her. Is it in your heart? Has it ever been in your heart to tell him all the truth about you? You see, he already knows. Yes, but do you know? Do you have a clue what a wretched creature you are? Unless he touches you, you never will. Never will. Who touched who? God's not pleading with you, and you've no heart to plead with him. You're in an awful mess. He don't have to plead. And you can't plead. He just touches sovereignly, graciously, mercifully, whom he will. Listen to Job 25. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. Aren't the stars beautiful? You ever look up at night and see them twinkle? Oh, yes. But hey, I just read you that even the stars are not pure in his sight. We're talking about a God who is holy. Holier than you and I can imagine. How much less man that is a worm, and the Son of Man which is a worm. You say, I'm somebody. God said you were a worm. After being distinct, defiled, deceived, depleted, disappointed, desperate, determined. Finally, she was delivered. Who touched who? And he said unto her, verse 34, daughter. This is the first word he's spoken to her personally. Audibly. Audibly, should I say. He didn't say, lady. You there, woman. He said, daughter, you're my child. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. What you've got did this for you, but it came from me. Faith is the gift of God. Who touched who? Verse 34, in verse 34, note the word whole twice. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. These are two different Greek words that are used here. The first is spiritual. The second is physical. The first has to do with peace. Peace with God. Thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. The second word, whole, has to do with the plague. Be whole of thy plague. The spiritual precedes the physical. I don't believe she was drawn to Jesus to beg him not to let her die, but to beg him to make her ready to die. Which are you interested in? people are saying about this coronavirus. Oh, if we can just put this thing behind us, and move on, get on with our lives, living like hell and forgetting God. You'd better be worried about the virus inside you called sin. That's what's killing you. And you can't put it behind you by your own doing. It's by His touch alone. Who touched who? If someone here this morning, and I say if, I don't know, but if there's anyone saying, I really want to touch Him, but I don't know if He's touched me. Well, if you can't walk through those doors and forget about all this, He's touched you. If you're drawn to open your Bible and seek Him, He's touched you. If your heart flutters at Matthew 11:28, come unto me. He's touched you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden under the weight and the burden of your sin. Come unto me and I will give you rest. If it's in your heart to touch Him, He's touched you. He said, take my yoke upon you. That was not an invitation to the world. That was you that labor and are heavy laden under the burden of your sins. Holy Spirit conviction. Come to me and take my yoke upon you. You've all seen a picture of an ox yoke. Many of you have seen a real ox yoke carved out of wood to put around an ox's neck to be able to pull. Now, if it's made just for show, just for looks, and I've seen some like that hanging on walls, then probably both sides of the yoke will be the same. But in bygone days, when oxen were used for plowing and for pulling a load, pulling a wagon, the yoke was made by actually measuring the animal's neck and shoulders to fit perfectly, to fit a particular animal. And no farmer would yoke his two strongest oxen together. He'd yoke a strong ox with a weaker one. So the two sides of the yoke were made different. The strength of the strong ox would compensate for the weakness of the weak ox. Jesus is saying here, I'm the strong ox. I'll pull most of the load. Take my yoke upon you. The other side of my yoke is made to fit you. It'll pull the best out of you. Do this, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light, and ye shall find rest to your souls. We need rest for our souls in this troubled world. It's waxing worse and worse. There's more broken homes, broken minds, broken hearts, and broken bodies than ever before. Trouble of many, many kinds abounds on every hand. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And all these things are increasing as the days go by and as judgment upon this world draws near. What should we do? We best walk with the King. Yoke up with Him. And be ready to leave here any day. There's an old song they used to sing. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Who touched who? Has the Lord touched you? Thank you.